Welcome back to Dare to Develop. We're so excited to chat today with Ryan Marino, a web and SEO expert who now works under Tonic. Tonic Site Shop, a lot of people might know as a wonderful company that provides website education as well as makes great website templates for wedding professionals.
So today, Ryan is chatting with us all about SEO. He's talking about what you can do today, small things you can do for the year, and just a lot of tangible tips I think you're going to really love.
Yes, so stay tuned to learn how to increase your SEO visibility and improve your marketing plan.
You're listening to Dare to Develop, a podcast for creatives. I'm Christine Herman.
And I'm Ashley Baumgartner, and we are two hybrid wedding photographers that dub ourselves work wives.
With a passion for developing community and daring to take risks in business and art, we want to bring you along on a journey.
The journey of artists, makers, business professionals, and more who want to level up their businesses by daring greatly and developing community.
So let's get started.
Welcome back to Dare to Develop. We're so excited to have Ryan Marino with us. He is an expert in all things web, SEO, and more.
We're so excited to talk to you today all about developing SEO strategies for increased visibility. Thanks so much for being here with us today, Ryan.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited about this. I mean, I'm such a nerd about SEO, and people make fun of me all the time about it. And I'm just like, I love talking about SEO. And so tons of people are just like, I don't get it. And I'm like, well, let me explain to you. So I'm super stoked just to be here to try to really just demystify SEO, simplify it, and make it just approachable for all photographers, because I think it's so important. And I'm very excited to just like get into all the details about SEO with you guys.
Yes, we know today's episode is going to be meaty.
Yeah. So.
But before we get started, can you tell us a little bit just about yourself, where you're based, and then we'll dive into all things business.
Sure. I am a Californian, but I live in Florida, and I don't know which is better. I mean, California has great coastline.
West Coast.
Hey, I can't deny it. But I mean, Florida's amazing.
I can say California's better.
Yeah. So I live in Florida with my wife. My wife is actually a wedding photographer as well. So I'm very ingrained in the wedding industry. I was a wedding photographer for a while. But if I'm not at the computer, I am outside digging in the dirt. I love gardening. I love landscaping. I love home improvement. So that's just like my joy when I'm off the computer. So yeah, I mean, I grew up in California. I was always into photography. So my career actually started, I would say like my real career started when I was 15, when I was 25, decided to become a photographer. And that started in Portugal, actually. I moved to Portugal on a whim, and I was just like, I need to make some money. So I became a wedding photographer in Portugal and just had to learn really quickly how to do business through, you know, how we all know, like when you start a business, especially photography business, you have to learn so quickly how to make a website, how to get found, how to get clients, all these things. So being me and kind of like in the technical side, I just really loved making my own website and really trying to get clients online. So after about 3 years in photography, I transitioned full-time into web design stuff. And that was about 2017 or 2018, late 17. And so I just really started to love that. I started making websites for friends, and then it, you know, went into a full-time business. And then I met Jen and Jeff from Tonic Site Shop, which a lot of you guys probably know. They're amazing. They're incredibly creative designers. They make like stunning websites, and I fell in love with their work, and I knew I couldn't beat them. So I was like, I'm just going to join them. So I literally we became really good friends, and we worked on a lot of projects together for a year, maybe 2 years even. And then I was just like, can I just work for you guys full time? And so that was back in 2021. And so ever since then, I've just been full time with Tonic. I make a ton of SEO resources, and I do a lot of their e-commerce development for them. So everything just kind of like on the back end of the website, I'm there for it and just really trying to help them out with SEO as well.
Very cool. So it's so interesting that you went from wedding photography then to websites to SEO, all the web things. Can you kind of tell us a little bit more about that transition of kind of going into the SEO field?
Yeah, totally. This is actually a really cool story too, because I've always been creative and I love photography. When I started doing it professionally, though, I felt like something was missing. And it was kind of just like that freedom of creativity, just because it was a business. And for me personally, that took away a lot of the joy of photography for me. When I've talked about, you know, I've talked about this with my wife as well. My wife's a wedding photographer. She didn't feel that at all. Like, she still loves wedding photography. Like, she loves it. And so it was just me. It was just kind of like my personality. And so I started to realize that I loved working on my computer. I loved kind of getting in. I started learning code languages. I started learning, you know, like SEO strategy and marketing. And that really spoke to me a lot more. So when I transitioned, I just found joy again. And that is really what motivated me to kind of like go, you know, full-time into web design and then into SEO and then into development, rather than just stay where I was with photography. And now I'm like a full-time second photographer for my wife, you know, built in. And so it's actually been so enjoyable, because the stress of like booking the client and communicating with the client and showing up and being like the head photographer is gone. And I get to kind of step back and be really creative at weddings and shoot the way I want to shoot and take my time. I shoot a lot of film. So I just get to like slow down and really get like angles and kind of shoot my vision. And it's just all like bonus photos for Kenna. And so it works out really well.
I was going to say, we're jealous a little bit. Love that. Well, let's back it up just a little bit, because while I'm guessing that the majority of our listeners know what SEO is and what it stands for, there might be some who don't. So can you just quickly kind of break down what is SEO and kind of the basics of it? And then we'll dive deeper from there.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, at the core of it, SEO, search engine optimization, is basically optimizing your website to be found on search engines. So, I mean, there's tons of search engines, right? Google is a search engine, and that's the one I focus on mostly, but there's also YouTube, there's TikTok, Instagram, like all these are becoming search engines, which is really cool. So I want to encourage you guys, as you listen to this, I'm going to be talking mostly about Google SEO. However, this will apply to your, you know, your Instagram and your TikTok, your Pinterest. Pinterest is a huge search engine, right? So all of what I'm going to be talking about is really applicable to most of this. However, like a lot of the details we're going to be talking about are specifically to Google. But basically, again, it's like being creative enough to be found online in a search engine. And so a lot of people are like, but I don't even know where to start with that. Like, what do I do? It's basically just speaking to Google on your website. And so we'll get into that with keywords and where you could talk to Google on your website about. But that's the idea, is just speaking to Google and proving to Google who you are, so they know where to put you in, you know, their results.
Mm-hmm. I call it Google juice.
Google juice, yeah. Got to get the Google juice.
Got to make the like, yeah.
So why do you think SEO is such a crucial part within what any wedding vendor strategy for marketing?
Totally. That's an amazing question. I think the best reason to really focus on SEO is because it could be free. Where ads, I mean, I love ads. Don't get me wrong. There's a time and a place for ads, for sure. There's a time and a place for like hardcore Instagram marketing and hardcore TikTok marketing, all these traditional Google SEO. Is something that, like, for sure you're going to spend time on, but you don't need to hire like a $100,000 marketing agency to revamp your website so you can land on page one, especially as wedding photographers. The competition's high, but it's not as high as, like, think about like marketing course. Like, if you're trying to rank for that or rank for just like photography, like, it's going to be so much more difficult to rank for that. Where ranking for Cincinnati family photographer is so much simpler, and it's really free, right? You make a page on your website. You can do that yourself. You add the correct keywords. You give useful information away, and that is what's going to get Google to show you on page one. And therefore, you get one page on page one that, let's say, 100 people a month click on. And let's say one or two of them book. As wedding photographers, we know one package or two weddings can be thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. So from one page you create on your website that took maybe, let's say, 2 days of your life, that's creating thousands and thousands and thousands of reoccurring dollars.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So that. I mean, that's why I love SEO. It's the salesman that never stops. It's your 24-hour, 7 days a week salesman that's always showing up for your customers, even when you're sleeping.
Love that. And I feel like even though it feels like social media is like nonstop, like you said, 24 hours, mm-hmm. at the same time, so much new content's coming out on social media that the like life cycle of content is so much shorter on social media versus totally. What you're saying. The Google juice lasts a lot longer.
Yeah. Yeah, Google loves a little bit more of an evergreen content. I mean, they do like updates. So don't be afraid to update your content and update your website. That's a really good thing. However, they are looking for content that, like I said, is updated, but it stands and it proves that it is an expertise, you know, quality piece of content. That kind of content doesn't need to change too often.
Mm-hmm. Love that. So kind of along the same lines of what we're talking about, what would be your response? And we had some great conversations, I feel like, at Hybrid about this with you. What would be your response to vendors who think that website updates and blogging is quote unquote dead because of social media, because of the time and energy they're putting into Instagram and TikTok and Pinterest and getting found by clients there versus the old fashioned Google?
Yeah. 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 Great question. I think that It's what you were kind of just mentioning, right? Where social media, you put a post out into the world and it lasts 24 hours in the feed, maybe 72 hours in the feed, like, and it will just get lost. And then you have to do it again. I mean, right? What are all these like TikTok and Instagram like coaches saying? They're saying you have to post 3 times a day. Now that is a lot of work. Even 3 times a week is a lot of work. What I say is you start a blog and you start creating content for your blog, try starting with 6 posts a year. Like that will make a big impact. When I started a company called Moreno Collective. This was before I worked for Tonic. And I had one blog post and it was show it versus WordPress. What's the difference? I mean, if you literally type in show it versus WordPress, it's still on page one. Yeah. I literally would get 4,000 people per month going to my website from that. And I would book all my clients via that blog post. So I wrote one blog post that literally gave me a year's worth of income every year.
That's crazy.
That is the power of SEO, right? So as wedding photographers,
one Instagram post is not going to do that. Let's face
it. No, it can't. It
or
can't.
One viral TikTok. We've all had that, like the letdown of like my TikTok went viral. And then you're like,
right.
And I got 2 followers and maybe
right. Yeah. Yeah. Keyword was went viral. It's not anymore. It's not getting you clients anymore. So I think social media is entertainment, right? It's really there for entertainment. Of course, it's useful. It's helpful. People are starting to find like restaurant ideas and recipe ideas and things like that from social media. But Google is just so much more solid when it comes to creating authentic, real quality content. It is going to stay on page one way longer than your post on Instagram is going to stay on the For You page or, you know, the home feed.
I think it's so interesting because like you said, like say something went viral and then people are seeing things on Instagram. And I know like it could be said for both that maybe it's not your ideal client, but like people, you don't get as many from the Instagram standpoint as then you do from Google, say years and years and years. Like I have one post from like 5 years ago that's still my number one post all throughout my website. And I'm just getting constantly people to my website. So it's just so interesting about the different aspects of like how to use both of those to your advantage, right? Like don't just be like, I don't want to do that. That's not going to help me. Mm-hmm. Be like, how can I be strategic with Google? How can I be strategic with social media? So I love that.
Right. And just to add on to that. So like I mentioned in the beginning, I was like, you know, SEO, like Instagram is a search engine. So what we're talking about will kind of like relate to Instagram. It's just a little bit of a different strategy. Like we mentioned with Instagram, you have to post quite often to really gain followers, to really get business, things like that. Where with Google, it's less often, but to be found on social media, it's the same as Google, like produce useful information and people will want to watch it. If it's not entertaining, it's got to be useful. It's got to be something educational. Mm-hmm. And so, but on Google side, it's definitely more of the educational, useful information. The only two reasons that people ever use Google is to find a solution to their problem or find an answer to their question, right? We never go to Google just to like, hey, Google, show me something I may be interested in today. It just doesn't happen.
You don't click the I'm feeling lucky button?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen that button yeah.
in all my years.
Right, right. So it's that whole, you know, thing of like, just provide useful information and Google will want to show you or show their users your website.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's some of your posts, Christine, that have gone viral, right, have been like how to shoot film or like basics of film and like some good education you've over the years. The biggest.
So, right. One thing that I think for photographers specifically, when they come to me like, Ryan, I'm just not ranking. Like, why is this not? Like, I have a post about like, let's say like Siesta Key. Like, I want to get more Siesta Key beach weddings. Like, and I look at their posts and I'm like, okay, your post title is like Erica and Amber wedding, you know? And then I look at the copy and it's just like Erica and Amber, this and that. And I'm like, this is a story about someone else's life. This is not useful information about someone who wants to get married in Siesta Key. So the idea of the type of content has to change. And so when it's useful and when it informs people of something, it answers a question or solves a problem, that's when Google eats it up.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Well, we are going to dive into some more tangible SEO tips. But before we do, can you talk a little bit about what DIYing your SEO looks like versus hiring an SEO professional or just outsourcing parts of your SEO? You know, I feel like as wedding professionals get marketed everything from courses on doing your own SEO to hire this firm to hire someone just to prep your website when you first get a new template or whatnot,
like do your blogs for you.
Or do your blogs for you, but then they're not actually, you know, coding images with the right keywords or anything like that. So can you talk to us a little bit about what those different elements look like?
Definitely. So hiring someone is going to cost money and it's going to not be as cheap as... It's not going to be as cheap as people are thinking or wanting. I think that once people start to realize how much money SEO can make you, then they may say, okay, the investment is worth it. But you're going to be investing, I would say, thousands of dollars if you do hire someone, which is a great option if that's worth it for you because you're so busy doing what you love to do and what makes you money. So as photographers, like if you just, you cannot do the technical like that, you just don't want to. Totally hire someone to do that for you. There's not a problem with that. However, it is something where it's not so technical. I believe every photographer can do the basics of SEO and get on page one. I mean, that's why I have so many free resources that I've written because it is something that people can do. And I totally believe that. However, I do understand that time is very valuable. So if you don't have the time to research it and figure out how to do it, that's when you're going to want to do it. But DIYing is fairly simple, right? There's only a few things that you really have to focus on when it comes to SEO. I think a lot of people try to overcomplicate SEO because in the past it was a little bit more like technical, where now it's so much more about just valuable content. If you as an expert know about an industry really well, write articles about the knowledge you have and Google will send people to your website, right? So DIYing, it looks like starting a blog and writing 6 posts a year, maybe starting with that. The more the better, obviously, but quality is definitely better than quantity. And so other than that, I mean, there's some things like technical SEO, it's still important, but it's not as important as people think, like page speed. There's a big study online and page speed had nothing to do with page one results. So if your website loaded in 6 seconds or if it loaded in under a second, both of those pages could be on page one. What they found was it was, again, more about how much information was on that page and was it quality information.
I'm going to deviate just a little bit because this spurred a question, but What I feel like, do you get a lot of resistance from wedding professionals being like, it's such an imagery driven business, not even photographers only, but florists, planners, all of that, of like, how do I even write content? You know, like, I feel like, well, now, and that's, we had a long conversation with you, Brian, about the future of ChatGPT and AI in this field. But yeah, just, I feel like so many photographers are like, oh, at least I blogged, and they threw up 20 images with the title of the venue, you know, being like, oh, it's in the title and it's in the keywords, but then they're still not writing, or they just bullet point the vendors. And so I just, you know, what is your initial response to that mindset?
Yeah, totally. And it is difficult, especially because most wedding photographers are just like ultra creative. Like, that's why you got into your field, and you're not necessarily wanting to be a marketer. And SEO is marketing, right? So I usually try to encourage people and just say, like, you are an expert. Write about questions that you know your clients have and put it up on your blog. Write about solutions to problems you know all of your clients have. What does that look like? So you have to think, you know, what are your clients, before they contact you, what do you think that they're doing before they contact you? And that's probably finding a venue, right? Finding florists, finding a planner, or maybe even getting engaged. So all of those can be areas that you can get people to your website by doing top 10 best Florida wedding venues, or top 10 best New York rooftop wedding venues. That's going to get people to your website before they're even looking for a photographer. How about, like, you know, 5 best Sarasota engagement locations? So getting creative and thinking about what people are searching for online is definitely going to be getting people to your website. And that is the best way to, you know, really practice blogging without blogging about, like, the gear I use. Because again, your clients aren't looking for that. Your clients don't really care what gear you use. They don't care that you have 17 lenses. All they care about is that you can do what you are, you know, promising you're going to do. So for photo heavy industries like photography, you just have to add a little bit of education into those posts as well, while displaying your photography. Again, a lot of people need to land on your website to then see your work. So there should be galleries, you know, up in the navigation, but draw them to your website with information, answer a question, solve a problem.
Yeah, I love that. And I think also what I always like to think about is, like, what are my clients asking me all the time over and over again, where I can make that a blog post for other couples, like what to wear for an engagement session, or how to make the room is looking the best for getting ready photos, like things like that, where you get, if you think, like, what am I getting asked all the time from couples? And then make that into a blog post, I think, is super smart. So.
Yeah. And it seems like it's such a simple thing, right? Because you live and breathe in that industry, like, you know, at least 5 days a week, you're thinking about that industry and, like, talking to people that are about to get married. So for us as wedding photographers, it's one of those things where we're not like, is that really useful information? But for someone that's, you know, like, has never done this, has never gotten married, and they're just researching it, that's a big thing. Like, knowing, like, how do, like, what does a flat lay need? Like, I mean, we know that, and we even know the flat lay. So, like, even educating them on a flat lay and details, things like that, that gives value, you know, to your reader, who then in turns goes, like, they know what they're talking about. I want to hire them.
Definitely.
Ashley here, popping in for a quick announcement. If you have been debating trying to learn about film photography, or just wanting to dip your toes into the film photography world, my girl Christine here has a mini course available for purchase on her website called Fundamentals of Film. Some of you may have gotten it when there's been the Bell Lumiere Creative Collabs as well, but it's a great comprehensive overview of what you need to know to get started with film. Christine's actually who taught me film on a one-on-one mentorship, which she also still offers. But if you just want to dip that toe, head over to her website, christineherman.com, click on education, and check out Fundamentals of Film, a mini course. I love that. So what are some common mistakes you see vendors making when it comes to SEO practices?
Yeah, blog post full of images with no text.
Why? Dang it. But then all my photos and Genkadesi, I'm dead. No one's helping.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, this is specifically for Google, right? So Google is a text, it's mostly a text-based search engine. Now, we do see videos popping up way more within Google search results pages. So I would definitely say video is like really coming up, and it's something that's very important. However, again, it's not like, I'm not saying you have to create a video for every single blog post and you need to like keep up with that. It's just one thing that we're noticing, like videos are becoming more popular. There's a survey that they did online and 74% of online users prefer video-based content. So, I mean, that's obviously why Instagram and TikTok have blown up so much. However, people are still using traditional text-based search engines like Google, Bing, Yahoo. And so we basically just need to make sure that there is text in our blog posts and not just images. Google's looking at the back end of your website. They're looking at the code of your website. They're not seeing how beautiful your images are. They're literally just seeing an HTML image tag and some alt text like describing what that image is. So they can't do much with that. So if you want to rank for something, let's say you want to rank for Anna Maria Island family photography, you have to write text about Anna Maria Island family photography. If you don't, Google cannot rank you for that keyword.
So true. And then what about non-blog pages? Because I feel like that still, you know, is a huge part of your website. And I feel like that's what a lot of vendors are spending their time perfecting, their homepage and their galleries page and their about bio page. Mm-hmm. And so what are some common mistakes you see across those?
Totally. I think, oh yeah, that's a huge one. The homepage, a lot of times people come to me, like for example, and someone who was in Nashville and they were like, Ryan, I've been in Nashville for like 10 years now. I'm not ranking on page one for Nashville wedding photographer. Why? So I go to their homepage and I have this really cool trick. It's Command F and it just brings up a search bar and I literally type in Nashville and they don't mention Nashville on their website one time on their homepage.
Yeah.
So I go to them and I'm like, how can you expect Google to rank you for, let's say, Nashville wedding photography if you don't even say the word Nashville on your website once? That's a huge problem. So that would be like one of the biggest problems I see with homepages. Another issue is once people start to get into this mindset of SEO and they want to optimize everything, they then try to optimize every page. They try to add tons of keywords. So even like their contact page, their about page, all their portfolio pages. I have this theory of like, not every page needs to be optimized for SEO. Like your homepage, for sure. Every blog post doesn't even have to be optimized for SEO. Like you pick and choose which ones, like these informational posts about the top five, you know, Sarasota wedding venues, for sure. That needs to be optimized. But like Jake and Carly's, you know, wedding, and it's just a bunch of photos, that's totally fine. Because that's a beautiful blog post that once people land on your website, they can click that. And then you're speaking to them in another way. You're speaking to them via your photography and you're showing off your skills versus text-based posts are going to get people to your website. So that would probably be one of those things of like, don't focus on optimizing every single page. Focus on the pages that matter, homepage and your single blog posts.
So getting to the meat of SEO, do you have any tips for our listeners that maybe they don't know about SEO?
Yeah, I think, you know, just the idea of starting a blog really, you know, overwhelms people. So my biggest tip is to just start a blog and take it easy. Try doing one blog post a quarter. If you can manage that, then like, I mean, that could be thousands of people coming to your website in a year from that one blog post. And if 1% convert, that's still thousands of dollars for you. So SEO is amazing at bringing in revenue. It's very low maintenance and pretty easy to start. And so my biggest like just encouragement would just be to really just try starting a blog and don't make it like a big deal. Don't, you know, think you have to do 365 blog posts a year. You just need to start out with one, then do the next. And if you get three a year, four a year, six a year, you're in good shape.
Guess now. That's definitely like a lot less intense than some of the advice you're given when you're a newbie photographer that's like, blog every week, optimize everything, yeah. every page, every photo, yeah. every, and then you get so overwhelmed, you just don't do it.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of people, because again, I was in, you know, your shoes. I was a photographer who didn't know about SEO. I did so much research on it. So I was just like, most people don't have, you know, the time or the bandwidth to even do that. But I, for some reason, was just so intrigued with it. So I did all that. But most people, they hear that, like, just start a blog. And they do get overwhelmed because they don't even know where to start, right? So the best place to start is, again, like I mentioned, answering questions and solving problems. And if you can just do like 3 questions a year that you answer in great detail, then you're in good shape.
And then for like, say the main page, someone needs to like spruce it up a little bit and they want their SEO to be a little bit better. I know you said like they need to have like where they want to be shooting. Is there like an amount that they should be putting in like on the header? Like say it's Nashville, like do they need to put that a certain amount of times? Is there like a formula? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fun question. I actually have a really cool formula for this. So I'll explain it to you. So what I typically do is I start with what I call competitor research. Doesn't have to be sound so like mean, right? But it really is just like getting aware of what's on page one. So let's say you just moved to Cincinnati and you're a wedding photographer. You would then go to Google and you would literally just type in Cincinnati wedding photographer. You would then open up all the photographers' pages that are on page one and then do that trick, Command F, and type in Cincinnati and see how many times the word Cincinnati is on these page one results, and then kind of just average that out. And let's say, you know, like on a low end, there's like it's Cincinnati's mentioned 5 times. On a high end, it's mentioned like 27 times. I would try to aim up more towards that like middle to high end. And there's ways you can add the word Cincinnati into your website that many times by adding it just kind of like into your bio, definitely into your H1 at the very top, maybe put it in your footer, put it in, you know, some blog post titles that you have on your homepage because you're one to like, you know, lead people to different blog posts from your homepage. So there's ways that you can really use the word Cincinnati. That would be the first step, is really just understanding where, you know, where your competitors are adding that keyword, and then just 10xing that. So there's this rule called the 10x rule that's in this SEO community. Basically just means if you can outperform anything on page one, it's almost a guarantee that you're going to land on page one. Because again, Google is looking for quality content. So whatever you see on page one, do it and do it better. Do not copy, but do it better with more value, and you'll probably end up on page one.
No, and I loved that tip of Googling what you want to rank for and then seeing people who are ranking for are doing it. And I know, like you said, sometimes we can't see all of the places maybe that word is, you know, listed on the homepage or the website, but it gives you such a good starting point of, okay, they're using it in headers and they're using it in their footer and things like that.
Totally.
But along those same lines, like, I feel like a lot of our listeners also desire to shoot in other places than necessarily their home market. And I think we've all come to the conclusion, though, that no clients are Googling destination wedding photographer. So what would your advice be in that sense of like, you know, you're not going to write Cincinnati wedding photographer, New York wedding photographer, Boston wedding photographer, Paris wedding photographer, all in your footer and clunk up your homepage or your base, you know, content across your site. So what advice do you have for those people that are trying to target multiple markets?
Yeah, believe it or not, I see it all the time. I see people on their homepage write like 6 different locations out, and they're like, because I want to rank for all of them. And I get it. The thing is, the more specific you are or niche down on one like kind of area for one page, the better that page is going to do. Like Google's not going to put you on, you know, like some town in Italy plus Los Angeles plus New York plus Sarasota. Like they're just not going to one homepage.
they're not.
Right. So what I recommend is wherever you make your bread and butter, where it's probably like where you're located, that should be your homepage kind of like location keyword. So if it's Sarasota wedding photographer or Cincinnati wedding photographer, Nashville wedding photography, that is what should be on your homepage. Now, if you want to do, you know, Tuscany, Italy as well, or Barcelona, Spain, if you want to rank in, you know, some destination, create a new page. So basically you just duplicate your homepage. And then you just replace all those keywords with Barcelona, if that's where you want to rank for. Now, I definitely recommend that this page looks and feels a little bit different, but everything needs to cater towards Barcelona and that keyword. So put a handful of blog posts, maybe like a grid of 6 blog posts that are all about Barcelona, information about Barcelona, couples that you've shot in Barcelona, all that kind of stuff. Put that all on that page as well. So when someone does land on that page, and they are interested in getting married in Barcelona, they're going to find everything they need specifically about Barcelona on that page. Then duplicate that page and do Los Angeles. Then duplicate that and do New York if you do want to shoot in all those. Mm-hmm. So that is the best way to actually get, you know, land on page one for multiple locations. It's not going to just be about stuffing tons of locations into one homepage. The next question a lot of people ask me is, but once I create those pages, where do those live? Do I have to put them in my navigation? Do I just put them in the footer or whatever? I typically recommend that on your about page, you have a little section that says like, I shoot across the world. I'm a destination wedding photographer. Here are the locations that I really love to shoot in. And then just do like a list and link each one of those to its landing page. So then that way, Google sees that these aren't just hidden pages, because Google doesn't necessarily like a page that has no links to it. Like it's a hidden page, it's a zombie page. They may think that that's like a backdoor way of getting people into your website and kind of like scammy. They want you to be confident enough to share that on your website. So it is important to link to it. But you just need to find a way to be creative about it without just putting it up in your navigation. So an about page, or locations in the footer, or if you write an article in your blog and you mention Barcelona, you know, like I did this shoot in Barcelona, highlight the word Barcelona and link to that, you know, Barcelona wedding photography services page. That's the best way to go about ranking for multiple locations.
Love that. Great advice.
Super insightful. Got me thinking over here. So kind of moving into, say, like, the luxury space of maybe people are like, well, I'm at this point in my career where I'm getting a lot of my referrals from other vendors. I don't really need to work on SEO. Is this something they still, if you are in that space or moving into that space, need to focus on?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I work on SEO for some top photographers. And even though most, I would say 95% of their clients come from like planners referring them, they still invest in SEO because you never know when that planner plans on retiring, or the venue that, you know, refers you out changes ownership or stops doing weddings. You do not want to put all of your eggs in one basket. But I'm the first one to say that referral based like leads are the best over SEO. I mean, they're amazing. So you don't want to not focus on that. But you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket to where if something changes, you're losing out on business now. So again, some of these top photographers that I do work with, they're still creating content to try to get found online by their ideal clients.
I love that because, yeah, I feel like there's that common misconception of you move up and you can kind of ignore your website because planners are just referring you. They're just sending over your PDF proposal you made and no one's actually looking at your website anymore, or at least not even Googling your website anymore. But I feel like that is true. You never know who's doing some late night internet searching. We all do it for different things, whether that's, like you said, looking up a restaurant or planning a trip and wanting a destination anniversary session or in Barcelona or all of that. Definitely a good reminder.
Yeah. And another thing to think about is too, is it's not always just the couples that are doing all the research. Like maybe the mother or a father is doing some of the research. And so they may be a little bit more traditional in their research ways. And so Google comes into play. And so they may show that link and, hey, check this photographer I found out, or hey, check this list of amazing Italian venues I found. And then they go, those are amazing. Oh, this is an article by a photographer. Let's reach out to them as well. So just kind of moving out of the scope of like, I just get my referrals from planners. Like, there are other ways that you can help your ideal client and provide information to them and get even more visibility.
Mm-hmm. And I think we talk about this a lot, is like planting seeds everywhere. Like, we want to plant seeds. We don't know which ones are going to grow, but like you're saying with SEO, maybe that one post might not happen for a couple of years, but maybe in a couple of years you book like your ideal client from it. You really don't know. You're just planting them everywhere. The more the merrier, I think.
Don't put all of your eggs in one basket.
Yep.
Well, I think we've talked a lot about the foundational aspects of SEO and how to do it. But what I know when we talked with you at HybridCo, you listed some awesome tools that all wedding vendors should know about when it comes to working on their own SEO, whether they're DIYing it or hiring someone. Can you share a little bit about some of the tools you recommend our listeners check out?
Yeah, two tools come to mind that are, I mean, I use them pretty much every single day. The first one is UberSuggest. UberSuggest is a keyword research tool. It's really just an overall SEO tool. A lot of people have heard of like SEMrush and the other SEO tools, but these are very expensive. Where UberSuggest, I have found, does just as good of a job, and it is incredibly cheap. I mean, I think there's a free version, so you get 3 keyword searches a day. However, if you are going to kind of jump into this like SEO season where you're really wanting to optimize your website for, like, you know, the next month, it's $29 a month, and you can get that, you know, just for a month and then cancel it after that. But basically what it does is you can punch in a keyword and it'll give you really like hundreds of keyword related keywords. So if you type in Sarasota wedding photographer, you'll see tons of other keywords that are related to that that you can potentially be using. You can do site audits, so it'll show you all your backlinks, it'll show you broken links, it'll give you a score on how well your SEO is. It's just an all-around amazing tool that I definitely recommend getting and just kind of checking out. The other one, we kind of were laughing about it earlier, but ChatGPT, it is an amazing tool to give you ideas, to help you with copy. Now, again, one thing to note is you can't just copy and paste from ChatGPT.
Blamer.
Yeah, it work right now, you know, like within this year or whatever, but slowly as AI becomes more and more like just popular, Google's definitely, and they already are catching on to just AI created content that people just copy paste and it's done. Which, so, I mean, this is kind of getting into some technical SEO, but Google has this concept called EAT, and it's expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. They just added an additional E to the front. So it's double EAT. So it's experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. That is their grid line for what they want to rank people for. Do you show experience? Do you show expertise? And again, AI can't do that, but us humans who do have experience can. So ChatGPT is an amazing tool, and I definitely recommend everyone kind of test it out, use it, ask it to come up with some blog post ideas for you, ask it for keyword recommendations, ask it for a blog post format. Like, you can ask it anything, and it's incredible. It'll give you ideas, but that's where it kind of stops, is it gives you ideas, and then you take your expertise and your experience as, you know, an expert in your industry and write an article about that. The third tool is Google Search Console. Google Search Console is absolutely amazing. And Google Search Console is basically going to show you what keywords you currently rank for, not only what keywords you rank for, but where in Google you rank. So let's say you write a blog post about, you know, top florists in New York, and you want to know, do I rank for florists in New York? And so you can literally search that keyword in Google Search Console. It's connected to your website, and Google will show you, oh yeah, you're on page 3 for this keyword. So then you know, okay, my rankings are growing. It's slowly, maybe I'll land on page 1 next month, or maybe I need to go back and add more keywords and more value, not just keywords, but more value to this post as well. so then I can actually land on page one. So Google Search Console is, again, another tool that I use constantly. Yeah, those three tools, yeah, are just game changer for everyone. And again, even small businesses like us, photographers, can utilize these in a really powerful way.
I love it. So what is one thing a vendor can do today to help their SEO in under 15 minutes?
Under 15 minutes, I would say do some research, Google research, like we were talking about. Like if you want to just get excited about something, again, the thing that I see stop people from working on their SEO the most is just the, like, they're overwhelmed with, I don't even know where to start. I would say if you really want to rank on page one for, you know, again, a Nashville wedding photographer or Alberta wedding photography, do the research, get on Google, search it out, see what is on page one. And the more you familiarize yourself with page one results, the better you're able to actually build a page that outperforms and gives more value than what you see on page one. So that is where I say I would start with. And then before you write any blog posts, do the same thing. Just always do a little bit of research first. This usually takes 10 minutes. It's not like a big, you know, like you got to dedicate a whole day to doing research. 10 minutes of your time, search it, get familiar with the page one results, and that will encourage you to really optimize your website.
I love that. Yeah, it definitely is one of those things where even just like website updates, I'm like, I have to reserve a whole day for it. I can't start it without like having a concrete place I want to stop. And it really is a good reminder that just a few minutes a day of like just start a blog post or write a small blog post or, you know, update some H1s throughout your site can go a long way. So in closing of this part of the conversation, if a vendor wants to learn more about SEO, where should they start looking for advice? There's obviously a lot of varying advice on the internet. And if you just search SEO advice, maybe not necessarily as specific to the wedding industry and things like that. So where would you advise our listeners start?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to learn about SEO, the fastest way is tonicsiteshop.com/SEO. I have created, I think, probably like 10 or more free SEO resources that literally go from like where you should start to like some more even like cool advanced SEO tips and tricks on that page. I mentioned Google Search Console. There's an entire guide on how to set up and start Google Search Console, how to navigate through Google Search Console, how to get started with it, everything. There's keyword lessons. There are blog lessons. I have a whole entire newsletter that goes. It basically gives you an email every week for 6 months of an SEO topic that I feel is very useful and practical and gives simple steps. So I'm not a lot, I'm not one to like try to like give someone like everything they need to do all at once. SEO is something that should be worked on very slowly because it's a long-term goal where, you know, like ads and campaigns, it's make an ad, you build a campaign, boom, 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 it lasts 2 weeks and then you're done. Where SEO, it's just take your time to really just go through things and optimize your website. But yeah, tonicsiteshop.com/SEO is going to be an amazing free resource area that people can learn all about SEO.
Love that. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing all about SEO.
You're welcome. Very excited about it.
Yes. We'd love to move to a time of fast facts for our listeners to get to know you a little bit more.
Okay.
All right. So first question is, what's your favorite tool in business?
Tool in business. I probably have to go back to Google Search Console. I mean, it's so rewarding seeing like the keywords that you've tried so hard to rank for, like, and seeing the proof that it's there. And it's just an encouragement. And so definitely, I know that's like probably not the coolest tool that some of your interviewees have said, but Google Search Console, it is amazing. And I do believe every single business owner that has a website needs Google Search Console.
No, I love that. We get like iPhone a lot. Yeah. So don't worry. Like we like a specific program. Oh, it's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
All right. So whether you're second shooting for your wife or you're working on website stuff all day, what is your favorite post-wedding snack or like post-work session snack?
Uh-huh. I'm not much of a snacker. So during the like the normal weekday, like I don't really snack. I'm a drinker. I usually have sparkling water and coffee in front of me at all times. Like I just love various drinks. Yep, exactly.
Water. TikTok about you need your like caffeine drink, your fun drink, and your hydration drink.
Exactly. I need that sparkling water to kind of give me some energy and then the caffeine, you know, obviously. So I will say though, weddings, post weddings, my guilty pleasure is Taco Bell. I will not lie. I love going to Taco Bell after a wedding. I'm like, I'm going to reward myself for standing on my feet. I mean, reward myself with trash. But, you
well,
know, it's
like in Florida, you're sweating all day too. Oh my gosh.
Exactly.
Love it.
So do you have any music you love listening to when working on websites, SEO?
I mean, yeah, I'm a big music person. I do like to listen to music. The problem with me is if there's music with a lot of lyrics, then I just sit there and like focus on the lyrics and I'm like, oh yeah, that was a good one.
I can't I feel that.
I do listen to a lot of like lo-fi. And if it's not lo-fi, then I do listen to a lot of hip hop.
Love it. What's your favorite thing to do outside of the wedding and web industry?
Yeah, play with dirt. I mean, I'm always outside planting plants and gardening. So like, I mean, I think I have like 100 variations of different plants around my property. And so they're constantly growing because, you know, Florida. So I'm always pruning, always maintaining my plants, planting new plants, planting new gardens. We did a big flower garden this spring. And so that was really fun. And then just a lot of woodworking and home improvement stuff. So that's always just been like a passion of mine. So when I'm not on the computer, I spend most of my, you know, working day on a computer. You know, 5 o'clock hits and I go outside and I'm just playing in the dirt.
Awesome. Bam. So what is the best education you personally learned from?
Yeah, I'm in the 74% of people that like video-based content. So I do a lot of like YouTube research. I never went to college or anything like that. I just learned everything I pretty much know from YouTube, which, you know, I'm finding so much more common with people nowadays, which is really cool. So I definitely think that YouTube has been like a big help for me. When it comes to books, I mean, I don't read, you know, too often like an actual physical book, which I definitely have, you know, I'm like a lot of other people, like, I'm going to start reading this year. And, you know, it just never happens. I buy like 6 books and they just stack up. But the books that I have read, I mean, I love How to Win Friends and Influence People. I think that's a great book on just like back to reality of just like the simple things that like your customers probably want from you. And I love Atomic Habits as well. The one thing that I really remember from Atomic Habits is just that 1% rule, where if you get 1% better each day of the year at doing something, at the end of the year, you'll be 37 times better than when you started. So I apply that to like a lot of my life, especially, you know, off work when it comes to home improvement, just planting one plant or pruning something or mowing the lawn, just simple things, even if it's not like going to make a huge difference at the end of the year, it does build up and make a difference. And then in business as well, just learning 1% more than you knew at the end of the year, you're just going to know so much more. And I just love that.
What is a one daring leap you've taken in your business or life?
I think I've done this twice and it was very much like a daring leap, but I think quitting my like traditional 9-to-5 that I didn't like. Before I was a photographer, I worked for a draftsman and a structural engineer draftsman. And I basically was just in an office and it was great, but it wasn't like life. It wasn't what I wanted. So I literally just dropped everything, moved to Portugal and started a business. And that was hard. Like, I mean, that sounds fun, but that was hard. That was some hard times of my life.
Yeah, sure.
And then again, you know, like after I started that company, I started getting into the more web design stuff. I moved back to the States. And then, you know, just because of, you know, your mindset, I was just like, I think I need another job to hold over for what I'm doing. But again, it was just so not life-giving. I didn't like what I was doing. And so before even a year, I quit again. And I just said, I'm going to do entrepreneurship, you know, and I'm just going to make it work. So I think that's one thing that I've just learned over time is just like, I just had to take those leaps and it was scary for, you know, a few months, even for like a year, it was just very scary, but I came through and now I'm living, you know, the best life that I actually can.
Yes. Love it. Love it. So what is one thing you feel like you're great at in your business?
Teaching. I would say teaching for sure. Like I love teaching. I work with a lot of people who are brilliant. And they're like, I don't know, I don't have the patience to teach people like you do. But for some reason, I get so much joy from watching people like go from like, I don't understand anything to like all of a sudden their mind is open. And especially when it comes to like SEO or online marketing and stuff, they're like, wait, I can do that? And I'm like, yeah, it's that simple. And so I love just being able to encourage people and teach them how to become better in their business. But I think that's, yeah.
Love that. Where can our listeners find you online to learn more about you and follow along?
I'm hard to find online. So yeah, probably through Tonic. Just email Tonic, be like, hey, I need to talk to Ryan. I do have an Instagram at Ryan Moreno. I'm not on there often. But you can find me, you know, at Tonic Size Shop, especially on that SEO page. Like, I'm creating resources there all the time. But really, my personal life is definitely offline. And so it's just one of those things where, yeah, it's worked out really well for me. And I enjoy that.
I'm Tonic area. All right.
Yeah, tell Tonic.
Thank you, one bam. So do you have any special announcements or offers for our listeners today?
Yeah, totally. Like I mentioned, I work at Tonic Size Shop and they create amazing website templates for creatives. They just launched a website template called Sidecar and it was specifically made for photographers, wedding photographers, and it is stunning. And I can get people 15% off there with the code Ryan sent me. And so I would definitely recommend if you're looking for a better online presence, Tonic Size Shop's the way to go.
Love it. So in closing, what is one thing you want to dare our listeners to do after hearing this episode?
I would say just not be afraid of blogging. Like, write your first blog. I dare you to write one informative blog post.
Love it. Well, thank you so much, Ryan. We've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation all about SEO and websites and just so much good tangible advice for our listeners.
Oh, thank you, Ashley. Thank you, Christine. I'm very honored to be here and so excited just to be able to talk to you guys about SEO and hope that everyone enjoys this.
We are so glad we had the opportunity to chat with Ryan today about all things SEO. We were chatting that we both love episodes where we just get such tangible advice and action items that you can walk away from. I personally loved that he just gave insights about, you know, whether you want to rank in multiple areas, whether you want to focus on your home base, just some great advice, because I feel like that's a gray area a lot of us wedding professionals get stuck in is, you know, wanting to do destination work, wanting to work in our market, but maybe the market next door. And so I just loved the clarity that I gained on that point.
Mm-hmm. And I think with Ryan's suggestions of maybe you just don't know where to start, but one blog post is really going to help you. One informative blog post to whoever you're trying to reach, if that's a couple, if that's other wedding vendors. Just 6 blog posts a year can really increase your visibility on Google, which I think is something that we don't think about, is like we don't need to be posting every week, every month, just 6. So also just with his search Google console, Uber suggests, he just gave us so many great tips on how to up your visibility with Google.
Yes. So we hope you take his dare. Go write just one blog post. I know it's probably been a while for a lot of us wedding professionals, whether you're in the thick of season and you have a backlog of editing or proposals or even just a backlog of content ready to share into the world. Take his dare, get it out there and start the work with just a small step. Catch you next time on Dare to Develop.
Thanks so much for joining us today on Dare to Develop.
We'd love for you to subscribe and leave us a review if you loved today's episode.
Don't forget to check out the show notes at daretodeveloppodcast.com and follow along on IG at daretodevelop.
Catch us next week for more fun as we hear from creatives who have dared greatly in their businesses and develop community along the way.